You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 19th, 2022, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com in the search engine, simply enter Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you to our Rumble page. You'll see previous postings. You also see where to push live. Join us live in studio. Glad to have you. If you can't do it now, you can always pull it up later and see the postings. And, of course, the audio will always be posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. You want to share something that we do on the air with others? Pull up that podcast YouTube. We're banned on YouTube. Or the Rumble, and simply share. And you can subscribe for free, by the way. President Joe Biden's administration, apparently, according to a report from the New York Post, was pressuring the El Paso mayor, do not declare a state of emergency over illegal immigration. They have thousands arriving in that small city of El Paso every few days. At least three of the El Paso City Council members urged the mayor to issue an emergency declaration. That's according to the New York Post. But then the mayor admitted, during a private conversation, he'd been directed otherwise by the Biden administration. One council member said, "The mayor told me the White House asked him not to declare it." Now, here, look at this. Look at this. You send 50 illegals to Martha's Vineyard, and they declare an emergency. But Biden is saying, you're on the border in El Paso. You got thousands coming in every day. Do not declare that an emergency. In the meantime, El Paso Sector Patrol agents say they had to shoot and killed an illegal. He was in custody in a detention facility. Pardon me, when they say he grabbed a pair of scissors and started going toward two patrol agents. That's their story, and that's the allegation as it stands. He was shot and killed. We do know an illegal is accused of murdering his longtime girlfriend, two of her teenage children, a mother and daughter who lived next door, and a shooting rampage in Texas. All of this taking place near McGregor, Texas. Again, an illegal. If he hadn't been in the country, they would probably all still be alive. Oh, take note of this. We're going to be discussing this in the next hour with one of my guests. The Pennsylvania Pittston Area School District revealing it has placed one shotgun and one AR-15 in each of the schools. So it's available for the resource officer immediately. The school board president said having new rifles on site and accessible to school officers trained to use them means a quicker response than it would take otherwise. So rather than just having to run out to their car and retrieve a rifle, it's inside the school, readily available. You think your school should do that? We'll get into that discussion later. By the way, CNN chief political analyst Gloria Borger pointed out why Joe Biden went off yesterday and started pushing abortion again, saying that's our rally cry to get more voters to the polls. And she said, and I'm quoting Gloria Borger, CNN political analyst, "I think the president is trying to remind people, he's trying to make it front and center about Dobbs' decision. He does not want this election to be about things that people are worried about, inflation and the economy." In other words, a little distraction. We're going to deal with that also with concerning remarks by Stacey Abrams running for governor in Georgia. That's coming up in the next segment. By the way, there's a new study showing that marijuana use has reached record levels for young adults. Might soon become a practice among the majority. No surprise there, as more states are beginning to legalize recreational use of marijuana. Missouri now looking at it. And then if you're thinking about getting an electric car and taking a long trip, you need to take note of this. There's an electric vehicle owner who takes road trips between Cheyenne and Casper, Wyoming, 178 miles. He got a brand new electric Nissan Leaf. I'm sure it's a nice car, but not for something like this. He said, it took me 15 hours to get from Cheyenne to Casper. A month later, he said, I was able to complete in about 11 hours. But he said, you put in perspective that 178-mile trip in a gas-powered vehicle traveling the speed limit, I could do it in less than 2.5 hours. So riddle me this. You want to do 2.5 hours, or you want to go 11 hours, or in his first trip, 15 hours? Wait, wait, wait for the trickle charge to finish. Wait, wait. Can't go yet. Not yet.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Abortion is an economic issue. It's been reduced to this idea of a culture war. But for women in Georgia, this is a very much a question of whether they're going to end up in poverty in the next 5 years, because women who are forced to carry unwanted pregnancies end up in poverty within five. They're four times more likely to be impoverished in 5 years. They're twice as likely to be on food stamps. This is an economic issue, and it's being reduced to this culture conversation.
Yeah, there was Stacey Abrams running for governor in Georgia and saying abortion is really an economic situation, and it's been reduced to a culture war. Does she mean by culture war that because you want to defend an unborn baby, that's a cultural issue? Cultural? I would say it's a moral issue, an ethical issue. I don't know of any, well, let me rephrase that. I start to say I don't know of any cultures that favor and routinely kill children. And I have to withdraw that statement because obviously we have been doing so in this nation under Roe v. Wade. And we were doing it before that time. And I will also remind you, despite what pro-lifers would tell you, abortion is available in the U.S. 13 to 15 states have outlawed it entirely, with minimal restriction being the mother's life is in danger. Rape and incest outlawed in some of those states as well. I will admit again, I have a difficulty with that rape or incest part, but those are really fractional amounts. The baby is still important, but the cases pale in comparison to overall abortion numbers. And again, as I'd mentioned in the opening commentary today, setting today's program up, I'm not going to dispute Stacey Abrams And what she cites is that for women in Georgia, this means they're either going to have to end up in poverty over the next 5 years because they're forced to carry unwanted pregnancies, and they're four times more likely to be impoverished in 5 years. That might well be true. Not only in Georgia, might be true in various cities and urban areas. But abortion being an economic issue, having a baby is an economic issue, if you want to look at it that way. You're going to have to pay to feed the child, raise them, gifts and things of that nature, get them in through early, middle, high school, then maybe into college. It's a cost. It's a cost. But it's a cost parents accept and they bear because they love their child. Those who abort their child, they can now have more money to spend on the things that maybe parents with kids can't. They can't have all the cable channels they want or this or that. But what gets me is that she just wants to simply bring down killing a baby to nothing more than it's an economic issue. She said, for families that have faced the issue of inflation, they care about housing prices, they care about whether they can afford to go to a doctor. Well, those are legitimate issues for everyone, whether or not you're dealing with abortion. But if abortion is being used simply as a birth control method, then that's wrong. That's not a birth control method. And, of course, the oldest birth control method is keep your legs closed. I'm sorry, I'm going to be very blunt about it, but if we're talking about killing a baby because someone, a woman, is promiscuous and just doesn't take precaution, or she's taken advantage of, or maybe she's being used by several men with really against her will. I mean, there are a lot of cases there where I can side with the woman and the plight she's in. But I don't want you to forget the baby. The baby's as innocent as a woman might be in some of the cases I was describing. Stacey Abrams, again, running for the governorship in Georgia. And she's talking still on this Good Morning, MSNBC Morning Joe about the price of having kids.
Having children is why you're worried about your price for gas. It's why you're concerned about how much food costs. For women, this is not a reductive issue. You can't divorce being forced to carry an unwanted pregnancy from the economic realities of having a child. And so these are, it's important for us to have both and conversations. We don't have the luxury of reducing it or separating them out.
Well, I don't know that you don't have the luxury of doing it, but you're just not going to bother. You're not going to take into effect consequences that come if you're going to get yourself pregnant. But again, in some cases, maybe the couple was not going to get pregnant, but now they are. And they make the decision that we can't have the baby, it doesn't fit our family planning schedule for our future, things of this nature. I will tell you this, that when my girls were younger, I made a point to sit down with each of them when I thought it was an appropriate age, and I probably missed it by a couple years. I thought maybe 12 or 13 was an appropriate time to have this discussion, the kind of discussion that fathers have with their sons. I had with my daughters, and I made it, well, my wife had part of that other discussion, the birds and bees overall, but I made it clear to them, if you have a baby, if you get pregnant, you will have the baby, and it will change your life forever. Your high school prom won't be like it is for all the other girls, and everything else in your life will change. But you will have the baby. There'll be no abortion. By God's grace, and who knows what else, they never were impregnated during that time. Boys, of course, the attitude for many is that, hey, if you have a boy, you only have to worry about the boy. If you have a girl, you have to worry about all the boys. I mean, that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, again, abortion is not it's not I'm trying to find the decent way to say it, but let me just be candid. It's not an excuse to kill a baby because you don't want to have the baby. And I say and say it again to everyone who is in favor of abortion. If your mother had made that decision, you would not be standing here talking with me, would you? End of discussion. But, of course, Stacey Abrams is a denier on so many levels anyway. I mean, she's running to be governor in Georgia again, and in her mind, she won the last time. She got denied. She won. Kemp stole it from her. That means she's an election denier. Well, I thought I've been hearing all the time from the leftists that if you deny the election result, you are pitiful. You won't accept the results. That issue came up in Arizona with Carrie Lake, who is the Republican nominee for governor. And questioning about, well, if you lose, are you going to deny that the election was proper, or will you accept it? And then she raised the question, threw the question back at reporters when it came to discussing election deniers.
If you're going to start throwing around terms like election denier, let's remember who the other election deniers were, Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats. Here's 150 examples of Democrats denying election results. Oh, wow, look at this. This is from Joe Biden's press secretary. Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. Democrats saying that. Is that an election denier? Oh, look at this. Just heard Republican Ryan Costello said it would be difficult for Stacey Abrams to win because she lost her state bid, but yet she's still claiming she never lost. This is outright. Hillary Clinton, Trump is an illegitimate president. Is she an election denier? This one says, was the 2016 election legitimate? It now definitely is a question worth asking. That's the Los Angeles Times.
Wow, the Los Angeles Times. She had a stack of this material available because she had had one of her interns pull up everything you can find on it. And she asked him when the intern, Anthony, gave her the document, said, would you bring those over to me? And she said, Anthony, are you a journalist? He said, no, I'm not. She said, well, you should be because you did better research than half of the reporters in this room. Point made. And she wasn't done.
So it's okay for Democrats to question elections, but it's not okay for Republicans. It's a crock of BS. Every one of you knows it. We have our freedom of speech, and we're not going to relinquish it to a bunch of fake news propagandists. If you want a copy of these, I'm sure that Anthony would help you get a copy and help you learn how to be journalists, but look it up. It's been happening for a long time. Since 2000, people have questioned the legitimacy of our elections. And all we're asking is that in the future, we don't have that have to happen anymore. Okay. When I'm governor, we're going to make sure we have honest elections. We want the Democrats, the independents, and the Republicans to all know that their vote counted. We want fair, honest, and transparent elections, and we're going to deliver that for the people. But just remember, guys, this is one page after Hillary Clinton says George W. Bush was selected president, not elected. So let's start, if you're going to start throwing around terms like election denier, let's remember who the other election deniers were, Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats.
And I remind you, and you probably weren't paying that much of attention at the time, but when Trump was to be certified by the Electoral College, and then the Senate was gathering, members of Congress, I should say, gathering to certify the Electoral College results, Democrats were fighting against it. They did not want it to happen. And, of course, Hillary was saying, we should get rid of the Electoral College. That means nothing anymore. I won the most votes. Well, if they were legitimate votes, she did have a higher number, but we don't know how many of those were legitimate. But, of course, she is yet to say that she lost. She won't say that. There's your election denier. Of course, the big race in Georgia also involves a Senate race, and this is critical going forward. Herschel Walker has been attacked constantly. In one case, being charged with paying a woman to have an abortion, maybe more than one woman, and then doing everything they can to vilify him. He denied it, but he later admitted he did give one of the women a $700 check, but said it was not for an abortion. Now, I don't have time to get into all those details, and in Georgia, they're paying a closer attention to it. But I am looking at a New York Times report that zeroed in on race in the county seat of Johnson, Wrightsville, where Walker was raised. The report charged that Walker had been ostracized by the black community in Wrightsville because Walker steered clear of protests against racism that took place in the area 40 years before. A local attorney viewed the attack, the report from the New York Times, as an attack on rural Georgia. He said, I'm looking at people from all across the socioeconomic stratus. We have a lot of poverty here. Many here were struggling. No jobs here. I think it's arrogance that someone from the reporter of the New York Times come down here and do a hit piece, and they don't really care about these people. They don't care about the drugs and everything else we're dealing with here. The incumbent senator that Herschel Walker hopes to replace is, of course, Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat of Georgia. He is a pastor. And one of the things that's come up and bit him a little bit, he's a pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. His church owns a village building complex. They've tried to evict residents for overdue rent. One had paid as little as $115 in back rent. One had a $27 late rent. And then they hit them with fee reimbursements, $75 late fees. And all of those things are happening. So that race has gotten very, very tight within a fraction. It's not over yet. Coming up, the Missouri Amendment for marijuana.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I mentioned earlier to you that we have new findings that say the increase of young adults using marijuana reaching record levels and could soon become a practice among the majority. This is a Monitoring the Future study. Scientists at the University of Michigan saying marijuana and hallucinogenic use steadily climbing among young adults 19 and 30. Between 1930 compared to just 10 years ago. Well, that's no doubt about that because 19 states, medical use of cannabis has been legalized in 39 states, the District of Columbia, and in D.C. and 19 states, they've legalized it not just for medical but recreational. Missouri is looking at Amendment 3 coming up November 8th, Marijuana Legalization Initiative. Basically, a yes vote legalizes purchase, possession, consumption, use, delivery, manufacture, sale of marijuana for personal use for adults over the age of 21. Also allows individuals with certain marijuana-related offenses to petition for release from prison on parole or probation, have their records expunged. And, of course, you got to do this, enact a 6% tax on the retail price of recreational marijuana. A no vote opposes amending the Missouri Constitution, not allowing the sale and use of marijuana for recreational purposes. One of my listeners called this to my attention, and I was trying to find it myself, and I couldn't get it to open up for me, and I'm not saying it's not correct. He's acknowledging that also he doesn't know why I couldn't do it. Bert is one of the listeners, and he said, inside on page 27, buried inside the amendment, and he's sent me a page, he prefaxed from page 27, the amendment, supposedly, and he admits that he doesn't know the original source, but it appears to be accurate. Says if it's not, somebody went to a lot of trouble. Buried in Amendment 3, according to this, it puts a chief equity officer in place and established public education programming. In other words, critical race theory will be buried inside the Missouri Constitution, inside Amendment 3 of the marijuana legalization initiative. He sent the copy to me. I've got it here in front of me, and he said it appears on page 27. You get deep into it. He said the position is not appointed by the governor with advice and consent of the Senate, offers no representative oversight, and the chief equity officer would be constitutionally mandated to produce critical race theory aligned programming, so forth and so on. Now, again, this is what Bert says he found, and he says, I'm not making it up. He said, I don't know if I got into something that they made it up. Somebody went to a lot of trouble. I'll be honest with you. I had not had a chance to look at it in its entirety, and I could not, for some reason, open my computer the actual full ballot text. I suggest you do so if you can and check page 27. He said, that's where you're going to find this, buried deep inside some of this information about Missouri Amendment 3. That may or may not affect your decision. I just want you to be aware of it. See, that's the thing I believe that sometimes one side doesn't want you to know. Do not give everyone all the information. Just give them bits and pieces. Hide some back. And I say that regarding both parties. That kind of attitude and approach does not belong to just one party. But that is, again, apparently inside Missouri Amendment 3, the marijuana legalization, buried inside of it, page 27, establishing a chief equity officer. Now what do you think about passage of Missouri Amendment 3? May not change your mind? Okay. At least you have the information. I mentioned earlier in news and commentary, in Pennsylvania, the Pittston Area School District revealing it had placed one shotgun and one AR-15 in each of its schools. It's going to be available for the resource officer on the grounds. In other words, having the new rifles on site, according to the board president, and accessible to school officers trained to use them, could assure a quicker response than the few minutes it might take for police to arrive with similar equipment. Otherwise, they may have their car parked out front, but they got to go out to the car and unlock their rifle or shotgun and go back into the school. What do you think about that? Good idea? You do know if you put up a no guns allowed, you're making your kids sitting ducks. You know that. My guest coming up, I wanted to get his view on this. He's with a gun lobby group, takes no money from the NRA. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Well, I got my first truck when I was 3. Drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Crime Prevention Research Center is a research and education organization dedicated to conducting academic quality research on relationship between laws and ownership and use of guns, crime. It is a 501c3 status. It does not accept donations for gun or ammunition makers or organizations such as the NRA. And the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center is John Lott, also author of the book Gun Control Myths, How Politicians and Media Botched Studies, Twisted Facts on Gun Control. John, we've had you on before. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, before I get to the subject we were originally going to discuss, and that's Supreme Court is on the verge possibly of expanding Second Amendment gun rights or wiping out all gun restrictions, I want your response to what they have just had to happen. I've received word in Pennsylvania, the Pittston Area School District. This is a district that has about 3,300 students in a kind of a northeastern part of Pennsylvania, I believe. They place one shotgun and one AR-15 in each of the schools, so it's readily available for a resource officer in case he or she needs it. They don't have to run to their car and get it, in addition to the pistol they might have. What's your response and thought on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's useful to have an armed officer in a school. The problem is it's really not a great solution in the sense that if you have one person in uniform, he's readily identifiable. Who does the attacker take out first if they believe that they're the only person that's going to have access to a gun to stop an attack? I think what you need to think about is having armed teachers and staff. I mean, if you are going to have an armed officer in the school, please don't put them in uniform. Please have them do some other types of tasks around the school, if they're a PE coach or whatever, so that they blend in and they're not obviously, the person who would be targeted by an attacker.
Certainly, excellent points, and I have long advocated that, yeah, if teachers are willing to undergo the training, that they should have the opportunity, but then, of course, having access to the weapon as fast as you can is the other issue. Too many parents, yeah. Many say, well, they're going to end up shooting and killing kids by mistake. That could happen. It could happen with police arriving on the scene.
But look, you have 20 states that have armed teachers and staff in schools. I mean, it varies. In some states, all the schools have armed teachers or staff. In other places like Texas or Oklahoma or Ohio, you may have about 40% of the schools having it. But with 20 states having this and some of them having it for decades, you can't point to that problem that you raised or any of the other ones. I mean, the typical concerns that are raised are that the teacher will leave the gun someplace or lose control of it, and a student will get a hold of the gun and something bad will happen.
Or accidentally discharge.
Right. Or the teacher will accidentally shoot somebody or shoot them on purpose if the teacher loses their temper.
Right.
Or that if you do have an attack, the teacher will shoot a bystander or something. But we don't need to guess about these things. We have decades of experience in lots of states, and they can't point to one example any of those things occurring.
But we do know, if you put a sign up, no guns allowed at this school or in this building, you're putting those kids at direct risk and saying, we're open, we're sitting ducks in the class. Yeah,
exactly. Look, we looked at all school shootings in the United States from 2000 on. Everything from an accidental discharge where nobody was shot all the way up to a mass public shooting. There was not one attack at any of those schools where teachers and staff can carry where somebody's been injured or killed. Not one. All the school shootings, every single attack where anybody's been killed or injured has occurred in schools where teachers were banned from being able to go and have guns for protection.
You're listening to John Lott. I'm sorry, you're listening to John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. The other topic, the main one I wanted to start with, that Epoch Times is saying in a headline that the Supreme Court may end all gun control, referring to a recent ruling in the U.S. Supreme Court on New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. And a law professor, Daryl Miller, is forecasting a radical change coming because of conservative justices on the high court. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't think they're going to end all gun control by any means. You basically, in the Supreme Court decision, you had a 4-2-3 decision that was there. You had four conservative justices with Thomas kind of leading the charge. And then you had Kavanaugh and Roberts basically trying to take some type of, generally agreeing with the other conservatives on New York's concealed carry law, but then listing out a whole bunch of possible gun control laws that they think could be reasonable. And then you have the three liberal justices who don't think that there's an individual right to self-defense at all and don't think that the Second Amendment means anything in terms of protecting people's rights to self-defense.
I don't want to get into all the details of this New York Rifle Pistol Association versus Bruin, but it basically had to deal with a centuries-old handgun licensing requirement. And the professor, looking at it from his view, saying it would be a radical change, he's recognizing that it's a more conservative court than in the past. Roe v. Wade is an example, and says that's the reason you might see the Second Amendment rights expanded and restrictions wiped out. You don't buy the argument.
Look, you have two basic types of state laws with regard to concealed carry. You have 43 states are right-to-carry states, where once you meet certain objective criteria, you're a certain age, you pass a criminal background check, you pay your fee, you're able to go and decide for yourself whether you want to carry. There are seven states, including New York and California, where not only did you have those restrictions, but then you also, most importantly, had to go to some public official and convince them
justify
that you had a good reason to be able to go and have a gun for protection.
You had to justify it, didn't you?
Right, exactly. And that's the part that the Supreme Court struck down. They said, look, even Roberts was saying, could you name me another part of the Bill of Rights, like the First Amendment, where reporters have to go to some public official and justify why they should be reporters, or why, you know, somebody with a religion has to go to some public official and explain why they have a good reason that's acceptable to that public official for them being able to go and practice their religion. And, you know, the other side wasn't able to come up with a good explanation. Now, I hope the decision has a big impact, because what Roberts said is, I mean, what Thomas said is, look, what normally happens is judges like a lot of power, and they like to fuzz things up. So you take something like the First Amendment. Let me give you an example. The First Amendment says Congress shall pass no law. What would they have had to write if they really meant Congress shall pass no law, you know, abridging freedom of speech? Would they have to write Congress shall never, ever, 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 ever pass such a law?
Several exclamation points.
Right, but real quick, what happens is,
go ahead.
But what happens is the judges say, look, Congress shall pass no law unless they have a good reason, and we, the judges, get to determine whether they have a good reason.
Yeah, I knew that's Thomas, where you're going.
and Thomas basically said that's not the way you do the Second Amendment, and I think that's the way he would move to the First Amendment if he gets a chance, and say, look, you have to look what the amendment says. You can look at the history at the time, and you can look at the practice. And so for a lot of gun laws, it's only been very recently that we've had them, and that wouldn't pass the historical test that Thomas said. Now, the problem is you have Roberts and Kavanaugh, who kind of watered down to some extent. They wouldn't agree completely with Thomas on that.
All right.
And that provides wiggle room for judges across the country to kind of ignore part of what Thomas wrote.
All right. We'll see how this plays out. And in the court in the coming days and months and so forth ahead. But John Lott, thank you again for your time and helping us get a handle on this.
Sure. Thanks. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org. Crimeresearch.org.
Yes, sir. Crimeresearch.org. And I also mentioned that on my Twitter account as well. Coming up, how important is the nuclear family?
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, yes, I think that the black community does actually need strong nuclear families, but not because we're black, but because that's the natural order.
Amen.
And so I think it would be safe to say that Reese may not be a Christian, because when God looked at man, he said it's not good for man to be alone. He gave him a woman. He didn't give him a village. He didn't give him the community. He said, be fruitful and multiply to this man and this woman. So it's supposed to be God, husband, wife, child. And that's the natural order. And that's why I think we can see some of the foolishness that we see in the black community, because we are out of order.
Those are the words of Shamika Michelle. She's a motivational speaker, a black woman who is a believer in conservative values. And that includes, as you hear her say, that a family is best when you have all components together. When you have children growing up without a father, you're going to have probably more issues than if a father's in the house, if the father is being responsible and doing what he should do. If you have a case where the mother has abandoned the family and the father's raising them, you're also going to have additional issues. Now, of course, there are the cases where it was going to be a nuclear family, but tragedy struck and one of the parents is lost to tragedy. Well, raising a child is not easy, even with the couple working together. I mean, they're going to have some disputes themselves about how best to raise each child. And I say each child because they're all going to be different. God makes them different. I know this from firsthand, and you do too, because I remember when on this date, my oldest was born. And I went home that night, thinking about her being born. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know anything about taking care of a baby. What are we going to do? Well, you learn. You learn step by step, and you make some mistakes. 2 years and 2 days later, which would be the 21st of this month, this Friday, my second baby girl was born. And I know I was thinking then, how am I going to love her as much as I did the first one? Because the first is always going to be the first. And then I look at parents who have multiple kids, and they love each of the children the same. And why? Because God makes us differently, different in all ways. One might be more obedient, more easy to love, I should say, and one might be more of a handful. Now, in my family, I had a younger brother and two sisters. Oh, I was the obedient. I was the perfect. I was the perfect child. You're hearing my story only, you know. And my brother, I told him one time explicitly, you're going to grow up to be a convict. I remember saying that to him because he wouldn't do something I told him he was supposed to do. Both of my sisters, oh, they were great. My brother, not so much. You know what? My brother right now is a father of two boys who have their own families. Both of those boys were raised in the same way our dad raised us. They're respectful, they're obedient, and they're raising their kids the same way. And they're doing it with spouses that support them at the same time. What Shamika Michelle is talking about in that statement is that when you have a nuclear family, you have a chance for the child to have greater opportunities and a blessing to the family. She was speaking on an NTD TV production in New York. Epic TV also included it. It was a live debate, hashtag walkaway, the Black American Culture War Showdown is the way it was billed. She was one of three on the right-wing expert panel, and there were three on the left-wing expert panel. They were discussing critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, criminal justice reform, white supremacy, racism, systemic oppression, immigration, economy, Trump, Biden. So they got that specific. But I wanted to focus on just her view of the family. Because really it doesn't make any difference what your color is, your ethnicity, your religion. A family that loves and cares for their children and guides them is going to be a family that is helping that child, who in turn will help the next generation. You pray and hope. I'm reminded, a pastor had told me, that Andy Jumper at Central Presbyterian Church, when he was a pastor, he said, there are cases, and I know I've related this before, but it bears repeating, there are cases where good children come out of bad family situations. And there are cases where bad kids come out of very good family situations. But each defies the norm. If you have a good family, you're more likely going to have a good kid. If you have a bad family environment, you're probably going to have that. And it may or may not take two. And I admire young women, or women in general, trying to raise a child on their own, when they're doing the best they can. But I want to go back to Shamika Michelle and her remarks about the value of the nuclear family.
So it's supposed to be God, husband, wife, child. And that's the natural order. And that's why I think we can see some of the foolishness that we see in the black community, because we are out of order. And we can make up all of this stuff that sounds good. I'm from a single parent home, and I'm not somewhere cracked out in the street selling my body. However, that is not ideal. It would have been better for me to be in God's order, to have a mother and a father to raise me. And that's just what it is. You know, the effect that it's had, we've had women for generations now saying that they don't need a man, and we have boys that don't want to be one.
Point made. Point made. As always, I appreciate you listening and sharing the word. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.